Well, what are we to make of Elihu? I think it's purposefully ambiguous whether he is sort of speaking perfectly and totally on God's behalf, or whether he is in fact simply summarizing the words of the friends, or whether he is actually quite wrong and just not much better than the friends. Why is there this unclarity? Well, I want to explain why I think there's that unclarity, and I'll tell you the conclusion before I go through the evidence. And it's this, that Job has been begging for a mediator. He realizes his friends aren't any good. He sees that his God is apparently distant from him. He doesn't understand what's happened. He recognizes he is a sinner, but he also does not see himself as the terrible, rotten criminal that the friends assume he must be, because they think that suffering only comes as a result of being a pretty bad criminal, and they're convicted that he's a bad sinner, that he just needs to fess up and repent. And Job longs for somebody to mediate between God and himself. And then Elihu appears on the scene, and we're sort of sitting on the edge of our seat thinking, well, is this it? Is this the answer? And it would appear that it sort of isn't, because God directly reasons with Job and converts Job without any need for an intercessor or an intermediary. And Elihu comes on the scene and then he disappears. So I think that one role of Elihu is to help us feel with Job when he thinks, oh, is this the one? Is this the one who's gonna be the mediator that I long for between God and man? And then we feel his disappointment as Elihu does seem to misquote him by making him really an offender for a word. And sometimes he just outright misquotes Job almost willfully, like when Job says, that the wicked do prosper. Some of the wicked people say that it's vain to serve God, and yet they still have a good life. And Elihu turns around and says, Job has been saying that it's vain to serve God. Well, no, Job didn't say that. He said that it's what the wicked say. And when in Job 33, verse 10, he says that, oh, God thinks that I'm his enemy. Well, you know, what Job actually says is that sometimes it feels as if God is somehow against me and my enemy, and other times he shows himself so wonderfully gentle and loving with me. I don't understand. I want someone to explain it to me. And, well, Elihu doesn't really do that, and God appears directly and talks to Job directly. So, he is a failure, I think. Elihu is a failure at being the mediator that Job was looking for. And you could possibly say that this looks ahead to how there was a failed sort of mediation between God and man in the law of Moses. It didn't actually achieve the end result. But be that as it may, I think here's the thing, that you go through disappointment when you think you found something and then you haven't, all in order to set you up for the joy of finding the real thing. It could be something quite petty, that you try this phone or that phone or this computer program, this app or that one, and it doesn't quite work, but then you find the one you want. It could be the same with relationships. Especially when you're younger, you fall in love and you think, oh, this is the one. And then it turns out that it isn't the one. And you go through all that stuff to bring you to greater appreciation of the real thing, when you really get the real relationship or the real thing. And I think this is also why we go through disappointment in our spiritual and religious life, particularly religious life. People think, oh, I found the truth. I found the true denomination. And then there comes this disillusion and, oh, they haven't got that right. Or, oh, no, this isn't right. And then people go to another one and, oh, it's the same. And I think that all those experiences of disillusion are to help you appreciate the final wonder of a personal relationship with God. I think that one function of Elihu is to repeat the arguments of the friends, because the whole thing was a play, if you like, and folks who were illiterate and weren't reading this but were listening to it would have found it pretty hard to remember all the arguments of the friends. I mean, there's a lot of text that would have been spoken by the friends in the original play or skit that was put on, and to remember all the arguments would be somewhat difficult. So you could say that Elihu was there to summarize them, to summarize the whole position so far, and that he well, simply functions as that in the story. And yet, all the same, additionally, we are on the edge of our seat, as we imagine Job being on the edge of his seat. Is this the mediator he longed for? You know, Elihu comes on the scene and claims that he is the one. He says, Job 33, verse 6, I am toward God, even as you are. I am also formed out of the clay. This, then, is the one we're looking for, perhaps we think. And yet, as you read his arguments and think about them, you think, no, a lot of what he says is twisting what Job said. It's not really quite what Job is really saying, and he still seems to be wedded to this basic idea that, look, Job, you've sinned and you need to repent. And that is, it's not to say that Job is perfect, but that is not the point. The whole book starts with the statement that in God's eyes, Job was upright, and that all this suffering that came upon him was not a punishment for sin. And yet Elihu still seems wedded to that idea. So although some of the things he says may be true, have some truth to them, not everything is. And so my simple point is this. We've all had disappointment in our lives, particularly disappointment in relationship with people, particularly disappointment maybe in our church life, in religious life. Maybe we have gone from one group to another, from one church to another, from one doctrine to another. And all that process was all in God's plan, because it was to bring us to appreciate the wonder of personal relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus. That is the one thing that will not disappoint. And all the failures were to lead us to that appreciation. And I see that with Job, that he has all this pain, understandable, this longing for a mediator. And then Elihu comes on the scene and he thinks, oh, wow, this is it. And it isn't quite it, really. And then God himself speaks. And then we all start to relax, as it were, to think, oh, yeah, this is it. Everything that God says makes perfect sense. Whereas what Elihu says, as I say, some of it, the closer you look at what he's saying, is a twist of what Job says. He's still wedded to the idea that you're suffering because you've sinned, so fess up and repent, which is, as I say, not at all the correct position. And so, in all these things, all these disappointments that we go through, particularly in relationship, particularly in our church or religious life, it is to bring us to the wonder of appreciating the fact that even if I stand with my back to the world, I have him with me, and he has accepted me, and he loves me. And all the disappointments and all the failed dreams that we have in our lives are to prepare us to appreciate that and to rejoice in it all our days.